The Random Jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in The Safari Supper.
A good deal of the social life of Stacton Trestle still centres on our ancient church of St. Oswald on the Trestle. The vicar, the Reverend Donald Smollett, has been with us many, many years now. On the other hand, curates come and go like volivorns at a wedding. The building itself was begun in 1350 and took some 200 years to complete. Indeed, by the time they'd finished the last bit, the first bit was already falling down. Thus, during the consecration service, the bishop took the unique opportunity of launching a restoration fund. This has been a burden to us ever since. And it was about the restoration fund that Major Dirrenforth called to see Evadne and me one morning recently.
You see, ladies, the trouble is that the last few fundraising events have all proved pretty disastrous. Take, for instance, the Bring and Buy. It was an absolute fiasco. Everybody brought, but nobody bought. You know, it cost us £40 to have that load of rubbish taken away.
Yes, people only give because it's easier than going to the tip.
You should have charged them, Major. I would have done.
The trouble is, I suppose, it's the same old tired ideas year after year.
Oh, I understand perfectly what you mean. Even the Bishop's Ball didn't go with its customary swing.
I agree, Hilda, I agree. However, help is hopefully at hand. Do you know the Moors?
Now refresh my memory there.
Really, Hilda? You know as well as I do who the Moors are. Peter and Mandy, they bought those two 19th century farm cottages in Mill Lane and restored them as 17th century farm cottages.
Oh, those cottages. The ones with the cobbles on the kitchen floor and the spinning wheel hanging in the window.
That's them. Farm cottage. The front doorbell plays green sleeves. And she has an anvil instead of a knocker.
Didn't I tell you there was something peculiar about her figure? I didn't know their name was Moore.
Mind, Lorna doesn't care for them. Thinks they're a bit nouveau. But she said you probably get along very well with them.
Did she indeed?
The point is, they're absolutely bristling with new ideas for fundraising. So I suggested they should pop round and see you two, dear ladies. And they said they'd probably do so this morning. That's really why I came. Just to tip you the wink, as it were. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must run. Lorna's sink mop's gone missing. And I promised I'd have a look around town.
You think it might have popped out to do a bit of shopping, do you?
Don't get up. I can find my own way out. The trouble is, it's got to be a red mop. The blue ones are so easily lost. Bye for now.
Bye, dear.
Goodbye, Major.
Now, come along, dear. Fluff those cushions up, would you? And put the biscuits on the occasional table. We do want the Moors to feel at home. I say, do you think we should strew the floor with rushes? Perhaps we might even wear our smocks.
Perhaps we should just keep our heads while all about us are losing theirs, dear.
You're quite right, of course. You are a tower of sense in a very silly world. Well, you're certainly a tower. Oh, I see, Daphne. That must be them coming up the drive now.
Yes, that's them.
I say, they're smart, aren't they?
What did you expect, dear? I mean, straws in their hair or something. Him in corduroys tied at the knee and her with a milk pail in her hand.
Oh, no, but I mean, they're smart, aren't they? You see, I mean, you'd not think to look at her that her kitchen floor was cobbled, would you?
Well, if you mean she doesn't look a silly goose, dear, no.
Cooey, may we come in?
Oh, hello, come in here. We're in the lounge.
Thank you. Hello. Oh, hello. You must be a Peter and Mandy Moore. I'm Dr. Evadne Hinge, and this is Dame Hilda Brackett.
How lovely to meet you, Beth at last. I've heard so much about you and all those clever things you've been getting up to in the lane.
Oh, we...
We haven't done much more than decorate, really, have we, dear?
Yes, we have. You know we have.
No, we haven't, dear. Not really.
We jolly well have, you know. Well, I have.
Yes. And how long have you been living in Stacton now, Mrs. Moore?
Oh, what, 8 months?
7, dear.
8, surely?
No, 7.
Perhaps you should toss for it.
Well, anyway, 7 or 8.
Now, I understand that you have some new ideas for church fundraising. Now, what are they? And how can we be of assistance?
Well, we have talked it over very thoroughly, and we've agreed, haven't we, dear?
Well,
that the most original idea might be to hold a safari supper.
What's that, dear? Something African?
No. In some areas, it's known as a walkabout supper.
That sounds extremely bad for digestion.
I'm sure it's far too complicated an idea, dear.
It is not complicated.
Have it your own way, but if you ask me, it is complicated.
I'm not asking you.
Excuse me, but I thought you said you'd agreed.
Well, we had, but you can never be sure with Peter. He changes with the wind.
I wish he had never. Now, what is a safari supper?
Well, I like to describe it as a movable feast.
Ah, like Easter.
Except that the feast doesn't move.
Not like Easter.
It's the feasters who move.
From house to house.
And course to course.
And never in the same company twice.
I say, this is hotting up, isn't it?
I told you it was complicated.
Oh, fiddle.
And what part exactly do you see us playing in this culinary treasure hunt, Mrs. Moore?
Well, we thought you might organize it.
I see.
Well, I'm told you know the people, their whims and foibles, and who might do what best with whom.
Well, well, that's a coincidence, isn't it?
Oh, Hilda, now shut up. Now, Mr. Moore, Mrs. Moore, perhaps one of you would be good enough to describe the operation very slowly and in a little more detail.
Very well. Now, the idea is that one arranges, say, a 7-course dinner.
No, one arranges 4 7-course dinners, Dee Dee.
Please, do please leave this to me, dear.
But you've
the
got...
The point is that one goes to one house, say, for sherry.
And nibbles.
To a second.
Elsewhere.
For starters.
To a third.
For fish. To a fourth.
For the main course.
And so on through dessert, cheese and biscuits and fruit, and finally, coffee.
And liqueurs.
Peter, shut up!
Well, I can see how we could easily work up an appetite. But, Hilda, I'm bound to say you'd have to buy yourself some sensible shoes or you'd never get past the nibbles.
Perhaps I could hire a sedan chair, dear.
Well, one can drive, of course.
If one prefers.
But much of the pleasure comes from strolling on a summer's evening, well fed.
Well wined.
And in good company.
From one house of hospitality
to another.
Bravo, a dead heat.
And how does this raise money, might one ask? Or does one steal a bit of silver from each of the houses that one visits?
And then you have the problem of finding a fence, of course. Well, how about selling tickets, Hilda?
Why me?
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, how about selling tickets as a means of making the money?
Precisely, Doctor. One begs, borrows, or steals food and drink.
And one charges, say, £5 a head for the evening.
So, if one has 50 people...
One can come out with a clear profit of £250.
For one night's work.
Precisely.
And knowing most of the houses round here, that's better than stealing their silver.
Well, go on, Dee Dee. Explain how it all works, if you can.
It's perfectly simple, Peter. You see, you start with, say, 50 people, and to ensure that no one host has too many guests, you split them into 4 groups.
I see.
12 and a half per group.
Oh, Daphne, don't make things more difficult than they already are, dear.
Well, then, let's say we have 40 people.
Well, Edwin, surely you've just lost yourself 50 pounds. Very well, then, 60 people. Well, that's an improvement. Now you've made yourself an extra 50.
I say, we are doing well, aren't we? We'll soon have enough to build a new church at this rate.
Or have the old one demolished and forget the whole thing. Well, it means we need altogether 28 participating host houses.
So, take this house for a start.
Yes.
Now, you have 15 people here.
Plus, Evadne and me.
No.
Pete, leave this to me. You have 15, including yourself and the doctor.
I see. Mm.
13 arrive, and the two of you make 15. Now, here, you serve them with their starters.
Oh, I don't think I want to do starters.
Well, what course we serve can be sorted out later, if we ever get that far.
Now, when they've had whatever it is they've had here, your guests leave, and you leave with them.
Well, where do we all move to?
Well, you don't all move anywhere.
Not together?
No.
You see, to make sure that you don't spend the entire evening with the same little group of people, each group splits up again.
Before moving on to their next course.
For instance, after every course, each group of 15 is divided...
into four.
Three and a half to a group.
Badly, I am beginning to wish you had never discovered
vulgar fractions.
No, Dean, no. Four fours are 16.
Oh, listen to old Einstein now.
Well, if you have 16 in a group, that means you'll have 64 altogether and not 60.
We don't have 16, dear. We have 15.
But can't you see?
But to keep it simple, we will say we have 16.
But doesn't that mean that everybody will be preparing one meal that nobody's going to eat?
And if everyone does that, it'll have 16 spare meals. And that represents £80.
Yes.
No, that can't be right. Dee?
Well, whatever was it we used to do when we did this in Surrey?
We'll get into a similar sort of muddle, I imagine.
Well, thank heavens that's over. Do you know, they were here 4.5 hours.
Oh, don't start mentioning fractions all over again. It makes my stomach turn over.
Mm. Well, if only she'd made the point that the groups could be of different size, it would have been all right. I don't know what was her trying to simplify it, and then him poking his nose in it, but it all so complicated.
Well, it's just as well that we're going to organize this thing. They can't even agree what their names are.
No.
P and D. Oh, piddle and diddle. I oh, that sounds like bored.
Now, not a word to her about the safari supper, Hilda. I mean, she would get lost picnicking on her own lawn.
Apparently she'll hear you, dear.
Good morning, Dimilder. Doctor.
Hello, Maud, dear.
Good morning, Maud.
What's that great big pole you've got in your hand for?
I brought this for you, Dimilder.
Well, it's a very kind thought, dear, but I haven't got a punt.
I thought you might like it as a souvenir.
A souvenir of what, Maud?
Well, you know the little old wooden oar where the old town dancing's been held all these years?
Yes, dear.
Well, this pole is all that's left of it now.
Oh, they haven't pulled it down, have they?
They didn't have to. Old Mr. Wilkins see to that.
Old Mr. Wilkins? He's the caretaker. I mean, he's paid to look after the place.
Them's the very words I says to him last thing as they were leaving. You was paid to look after that place, says I. And you know, them ambulance men as were carrying his stretcher, they got quite shirty. He ain't fit to be shouted at, they shouted at me. He ain't fit to look after that all, neither, shouts I. Well, I don't mind telling you, Daymilder, I could have cried. Standing there in the hot ashes, in me sequins and me silver shoes, and everyone shouting abuse.
Well, when was all this, dear?
Last night. We were celebrating 25 years of old-time dancing. And about 10:30, they dims the lights, and old Mr. Wilkins comes out the kitchen with his cake in his hands and 25 big candles all blazing on the top. Well, now, I happened to be doing the Lancers at the time.
And you were using the curtain rod as a lance, were you, Maud?
No, I were not, Doctor. The curtains were still hanging on it. And there weren't nothing burning. Well, I were doing that bit where you grab somebody and you swings them round and round and round, faster and faster and faster.
Are you sure that's in the Lancers, Maud?
Well, I ain't quite sure what it's in, Daymilder. But I always does it because I enjoys it. And that's the reason I go.
Well, very right and proper, dear.
Nice to know someone enjoys himself as these do.
Anyhow, old Mr. Wilkins comes out the door at one end of the hall, clutching his cake, just as I finishes me swinging at the other, and launches into me grand chain right down the middle. Now, you know how I can move when I'm in a dancing mood, Daymilder.
I do indeed, dear. Yes, I do. That's how they lost that big mirror that used to stand at one end of the hall, isn't it?
Oh, that were years ago. It were funny about that mirror, because, you know, I never seen myself come in.
That's one of your greatest failings, Maud. You never do.
Well, she gets carried away, doesn't she, Evadne?
Yes, dear. Never quite far enough.
Now, wouldn't you think old Wilkins had moved himself? Daft idiot. He just stood there with his candles blazing, staring like he'd never seen the Lancers afore.
He'd probably never seen it done that way before.
Anyhow, next thing I knows, he's down. And I'm lying on top of him on the floor.
It does sound like a good evening.
Somebody's shouting fire.
And were you both lying on top of the cake, Maud?
No, we were not, Doctor. The cake had sailed up into the rafters. That's how the paper chains caught light. So I pulls down the curtain and grabs the rod, and I prods at the cake to dislodge it. That's when the balloons went up. And afore you could say fire brigade, the whole place was ablaze.
And old Mr. Wilkins got hurt fighting the fire, did he, Maud?
No. He never got up once I'd landed on him. They said he were concussed. But I reckons he was just lying low. He'd knowed well enough it were all his fault.
It's a great shame, Hilda. Because I was just thinking that the Sid Sasson Memorial Hall, where they held the dancing, might be one of the venues for the Safari Supper. I mean, we could have had everyone there for coffee at the end.
Well, I suppose we still could, dear. As long as it's a fine night and the ashes have been damped down. Even as a burnt-out shell, it has one great advantage as far as I'm concerned.
What's that, Hilda?
It's not far to walk. And so it was that Evadne and I came to mastermind the first Safari Supper ever to be held in Stacton Castle. It was, incidentally, also the last. We decided to make the old man's one of the venues for dessert. Evadne wanted to serve raspberry flammery and quince melt, which sounded rotten. But I managed to talk her out of it, and instead we coddled pears in rum sauce. As the manse was the centre of operations, we thought it wiser to remain at home all evening, ready to answer telephonic queries and, in due course, to receive our allotted guests.
the first to arrive being Mr. and Mrs. Moore.
Well, I must say, Dame Hilda, that rum sauce was delicious.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoy that.
The food's been quite excellent everywhere, hasn't it, dear?
Oh, quite excellent. Well, the only thing is, we haven't seen another guest all evening, have we?
No. Wherever we've been on our own.
Which is rather disappointing. After all, we had hoped that this evening would afford an opportunity of meeting a lot of the villagers.
Believe me, when you've been here a few more months, you'll long for an evening when you don't meet any of them.
Still, that is strange, isn't it, Evadne? Now, let me see. Where did you have your starters?
At Ray's cottage.
Yes, that's right. The vicar was there.
No.
Was Major Durrenforth there?
No.
What about Mrs. Tweedsmuir?
No.
Well, were any of the people on that list there?
Yes, those two, the Paget Browns. They were your hosts. Ah, true.
Well, I wonder where all the rest were. You didn't pass any of them on the road or anything, or sitting beside it looking lost.
Oh, we saw your daily. What's her name? Maud.
Really? Where?
She was sitting in the cemetery eating fish and chips.
Say, Betty, I didn't know any of our hostesses were doing fish and chips.
No, they weren't. She got them from Bert's mobile chippy. It had broken down on the corner.
Trust Maud to fall on her feet.
What? We've hardly seen a soul all evening, have we, Pete?
Hardly a soul, dear. Hardly a soul.
Talking of soul, where did you have your fish caught?
At the old lodge.
Oh, yes, that's right. Now, let's see. Was Major Durrenforth there?
No.
He must be getting a bit peckish by now.
Were the Wintertons there?
No.
Any of that lot?
Just those two, the Morleys.
Oh, yes, the hosts again. This is beginning to feel rather like the Marley Celeste, you know.
Well, it's working absolutely beautifully as far as we're concerned, isn't it?
Yes.
So, on. Perhaps we'll meet up with someone over the cheese and biscuits, eh? Come on, Dee.
Oh, no. No, we split again for cheese, please.
Yes.
You're at schoolhouse and I'm at home farm.
Right. Jolly good. Let's be off then. See you later, ladies.
Bye.
Bye. I'll get it, Evadne.
Right, then.
Hello? Yes. What, dear? Where? Oh, well, hold on a minute.
It's Mrs. Tweedsmuir in that.
She's in a phone box at Bradfield St. George looking for her pudding.
Well, she won't find it in a phone box, will she?
Yes, she searched the place and can't find Willow House.
Well, no, she wouldn't. Not in Bradfield St. George. It's in Bradfield St. Clair. She's overshot it by about 2.5 miles.
I'll tell her to go back.
Oh, it's no good now, dear. Far too late. I mean, that dessert party will be marching towards their cheese and biscuits by now.
Oh, good heavens. Hello? Mrs. Tweedsmuir, are you still there? I'm sorry, dear, but it rather looks as if you've missed your pudding. Well, can't you walk back? Yes, I know it's slow going with your stick, but... Well, look, dear, if it's going to take you that long, you're going to miss your cheese as well. Well, if you have to walk, you'd best make straight for the vicarage and hope you'll be in time for coffee. And failing that, you may as well go straight home.
Good evening, ladies. Major Durrenforth reporting for dessert.
Oh, hello, Major. Now, where's my list? I'll just cross you all. Oh. I don't want to be rude, Major, but you're not supposed to be here.
Where am I supposed to be, then?
Well, at Willow House, Bradfield St. Clair.
No, I went there. They said I should be here.
Well, they were wrong, dear. I mean, didn't you show them your list?
Yes, I did. They said my list was wrong.
Didn't they have their list?
Yes, but it was nothing like my list or your list.
Oh, God, how does it happen?
I'll get it. Hello? Who? Oh, yes, dear. Yes. What? How many? Well, of course you shouldn't dare. Just 15 like everybody else. Well, they must be bringing strangers.
No, 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 dear. No, I don't care who they want to eat with. They can't just do as they like.
Daphne.
Hmm?
Naomi Mitchell's got 47 packed in.
In our little bungalow.
So that's where they've all got to. Have you got your car with you, Major?
Yes, I have it, Betty.
Then I'll tell you what we'll do. Hilda, we'll pack up 3 portions of coddled pears, grab a chair apiece, and drive round to Navy Mitchell's bungalow. That's obviously where it's all happening. And I'm starving.
Come on in, Abney.
Major, grab yourselves a spoon and start ladling.
Hello, Naomi.
Keep the prunes warm, dear. We're all coming round to you.
That was The Safari Supper, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Frau. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcomed Jean Haywood as Maud. Our thanks also to this week's guests, Anthony Sharp, Francis Cheetah, and Chris Emmett, and to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by John Dias.